Okay, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time we have. Lord, I thank you for the word that you've given me. Help me, Lord, to say what you want me to. And I pray, Lord, that we would all have hearing ears. Lord, that each lady here will receive what they need for tonight. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm excited about the word that God gave me for you tonight. I've been reading in the book of Deuteronomy the last couple of weeks. And it's an interesting book, the book of Deuteronomy. And our text comes from chapter 5 of Deuteronomy, and it's verse 29. Now, what's happening, I want to set it up for you. The Israelites, they had this come to the end of the 40 years of wandering in the desert. And they're purged, ready to go into the promised land. And this is one of the things that God spoke to them through Moses. And this is some of the words he said about his people, the Israelites. It's verse 29. And this is God speaking. He says, "Oh, that they had such a heart in them that they would fear me and always keep all my commandments, that it may be well with them and their children forever." This is the heart of God towards his people, that it may be well with them and with their children forever. And also, this is God's heart towards you individually. Then I want you to think about putting your name in there. I'm going to put my name in there as a demonstration. Oh, that Carmen had such a heart in her that she would fear me and always keep all my commandments, that it might be well with her and with her children forever. So that's a word of God to me. That's a word of God to you tonight. My title tonight is God's Heart Toward You. To your our Heavenly Father, He wants our lives to go well, and He wants your children's lives to go well. Isn't that good? We want our children's lives to be well. And I just want to encourage you, ladies, if you have children, whatever you do affects your children. And if you don't have children, people that you love that are around you, what you do affects those that you love the most around you. So it's important how we live our lives. But God, He has a good plan for your life. It says in Jeremiah 29:11, it's a famous verse, where God says, "I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." You know, in the NIV it says, "I know the plans I have for you." But you know, whatever God thinks, that's His plan. He doesn't think one thing and plan another. So His thoughts and His plans are one and the same. So don't get confused by that. But His thoughts towards you, His plans for you is good, is to have a good life. It also says in John 10:10 that the thief comes not except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that may have it more abundantly. You see, we have an enemy. We have an enemy who wants to destroy our lives. He wants to steal from you. He wants to kill, and he wants to destroy your life. But I'm telling you, that enemy is no match for our God, who wants our life to be one of abundance. He is no match. We don't have to be afraid of our enemy, because we have God on our side, and He is no match for him. I want you tonight to go away with this thought that you never question that God loves you and He wants your life to go well. Don't ever question that. God loves you and He wants your life to go well. When something bad comes along, you can know without a doubt that did not come from God. It did not come from God. It's really simple. If it's bad, it's from the enemy. If it's good, it's from your Heavenly Father. See, the full life that God wants you to have, you have to put yourself in a position to be able to receive it. If you want that abundant life that He has for you, a life that goes well for you, you have to be in a position for God to be able to pour that into your life. You see, when you make a choice to sin, that puts you in a position, or that gets you out of a position for God to be able to bless your life. It's not that He wants to bless you, but you're not in that place of obedience where He can pour that blessing on you. So see, if you sin, you go against God's word, then you step out of His blessing, and it's over here for you, but you're not where you need to be. in order for that blessing to come upon your life. You know, what happens so often is when we don't obey the Lord that we miss out on blessings. We miss out on good things that He has for us. Sometimes when you disobey God, it can cause sickness in your body. You know, I want to make this very clear. God never puts sickness and disease on His people. He doesn't do that. But if you get yourself out from under His protection, out from under His laws and His way of treating your body, and you do it differently, then you have opened yourself up to sickness and disease. God doesn't want that for you. But you've opened yourself up through disobedience by not treating your body right. If you don't feed it right, you go to places you ought, maybe God has said don't go there, you can open yourself up to sickness and disease in your body. It didn't come from God. It came from poor choices that we made. When we choose to sin, sometimes that causes a lack of peace in our life. When you're not at peace, that's not life, is it? When you're in turmoil and upset, that's not peace. Peace is the good life, living in peace. But see, if I make a choice, like for me, this is something I fall into. I watch the wrong kind of show, and then I have to deal with nightmares. That's not a full good life. I hate nightmares. I mean, my husband says, when you get scared at night, you get these huge chill bumps on you. This the big, I mean, it just doesn't even seem real. They're so big. And he always tells when I'm having a nightmare, he'll wake me up. Thank you, Lord. He wakes me up. But why? That's not the full life. What did I do? I got out from under obedience and watched something I should not have watched, which brought some death into my life. But when I say no to that, what I know I can't watch, then I can have peace and I can sleep without nightmares. True repentance is the only thing that's going to wipe out sin and its consequences in your life. If you truly repent, that puts God into a position where He can help take care of the consequences that came because of the sin. See, if you're experiencing trouble, or if you have, let's say you have some unfulfilled dreams that you know are in line with God's will for your life, and that these things just aren't happening, you need to know that that is not God's plan for you. God's will for your life does not just automatically happen. I want to say that again. God's will for your life will not just automatically happen. You have a free will, and you have to choose to do the right thing. The right choices is what puts you in a position to receive. And you must, ladies, we've got to learn to accept the responsibility for our lives. Accept the responsibility. If your life is not good, then you may be doing something wrong. And we hate to admit. I always hate. It's hard for me to admit if I'm doing something wrong. Are you that way? But if your life is not good, it may be that you're doing something wrong. We need to start taking responsibility for our actions and what we're doing. Stop blaming other people. And stop blaming others that cause you pain, because God is bigger than the problems that are caused by other people. So how do you take responsibility for your life? Well, it says in Deuteronomy 5, we're going to begin with verse 32. And this is what God told the Israelites, and it's the same for you today. He told them, therefore you shall be careful too. Now here's His instruction. Do as the Lord your God has commanded you. And you shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. You shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God has commanded you, that you may live and that it may be well with you. Here's that phrase again. God wants your life to go well, that it may be well with you, and that you may prolong your days in the land which you shall possess. So what is this? How do you take responsibility for your life? That you're careful to observe, to do what God has commanded you to do. That you don't veer off course. You know, it's so easy. I'm going to obey you, God, and you're doing pretty good. But you just kind of veer off course just a little bit. Maybe not fully doing what you know you should be doing. And before long, you're way out over here, and you're out of the blessing of the Lord. And it says to walk in the direction that God leads you in your life. You know, we all have direction from God's word that we all are supposed to obey. We don't lie, we don't steal. You know, we're supposed to forgive others, but that we all each have individual directions, things that God wants you to do for Him, and we need to walk in that direction that He leads us. And if you'll do that, what's the result? Life, a good life, a long life. It says that it may be well with you. That's God's heart. Grab onto that. What is God's heart towards you? That it may be well with you. You know, when I say you got to do as the Lord has commanded you, well, as you look at this, do as He commands. This is what He commands. That can be overwhelming, can it? I must do this. That's overwhelming. And you think, I know this is how the devil works. You think this way, but man, there's no way I can do everything. I don't understand. I can't ever do everything perfectly and do everything right, so I guess I can't have a good life because I don't understand it all. I just don't understand. I make mistakes. I can't live perfectly. But you really, that is just an excuse, because God expects you to do what you know, what He tells you to do. You don't have to have it all figured out. What you do is do what you know what you're supposed to do, and God has sent His Holy Spirit that is on the inside of you that will lead you down the right path. Your Father wants your life to go well, and He will speak to you. He will give you direction for your life. We think, oh, but I have such a hard time hearing God's voice. I'm telling you, if you will get still and listen and do it on a consistent basis, you will learn to understand and know God's voice. If you have a child and you want them to do something, do you want your child to sit around and try to figure out what you want them to do? No, you're going to give them a list of chores. I want you to do this and this and this. And they know exactly what they're supposed to do. God will do the same for you if you'll just listen. He'll direct you. He'll guide you. Let me give you an example. He might say simple words. You're coming up against a situation and you hear something inside saying, pray. Well, are you going to ignore God's voice? I mean, who's saying pray? Is that the devil? No. Is that your flesh? No. That's the Lord. He's saying pray. And if you'll take it, what happens is, like, but no, I'm so busy. I can't stop. I've got to go. Or it's not going to get done. And you're hearing this voice inside, pray. Stop and pray. If you will obey God's voice, oh, you're in line for a blessing. You're in line for that life to flow. Or you can just ignore it and just keep on going, and you're not where you need to be for that blessing to flow into your life. God might speak to you words like, you need to go to church. Oh, but I'm so tired. Maybe you're upset about something, but maybe you're just tired. So you don't go. Are you where you need to be? No, you're not. I'm so tired, but I'm going to obey the Lord. And you get there and whoosh, just what you need. And you got it now. You're ready to go through that next day. You got to get yourself in a position. God will speak to you if you'll listen. Let's not make it so magical that, I don't know what people think, but God just, you'll know when God speaks to you. Simple words. If you'll learn to obey the simple words, there'll be more specific things you'll hear later. The Lord will guide you one step at a time, moment by moment. He will direct and guide you and teach you. And there's two things you can always know. He will never leave you. He'll always be at your side, and He'll always be there to help you. He never leaves you, and He's always there to help you. Always. How can we fail when the Holy Spirit is always there, and He's always there to help you? But somehow we do, don't we? We mess up. We fall. What do you do? God's good. He's provided a way. When you mess up and you fall into sin, what do? You repent. You say, God, forgive me. And what happens? That blood of Jesus that God has provided will wash away that sin. I tell you, there's no shortage of Jesus' blood. That blood is a precious thing. That blood was very costly. So do not dare to dishonor that blood and that sacrifice by thinking that it can't take care of what I did. Yes, it can. True repentance, that blood will wash it away and make you clean. But I know what some of you are thinking. Yeah, I know I could have this wonderful life, but you don't know the people that I deal with. What about other people who mess up and bring trouble into your life? What about them? I'm just going to tell you right now, that's no problem for God. You do what you can do. Do your part. And God will take care of the part that you cannot do. See, don't give the control to those people that are causing you trouble. You give it to God. If you think God can't work through the mistakes of others to make your life right, then your God is too little. You serve a teeny weeny little God. My God's not little. My God is big. And He's bigger than what anybody else might do to hurt me or my family or hurt my church. My God is bigger than that. And if I put myself in a position through my fear of Him, my obedience, doing the very best I can to obey my God, I'm in a place of blessing. He'll rise, and even if other things are bad around me, I'll rise up above it, and I can live above it in peace no matter what the storm is around me, and I can have a good life. Let's say you're driving, and you're doing everything right, but somebody else blows it and hits you. Just like Carla was sitting at a red light, minding her own business, and someone rams into the back of her. Wasn't a bad one, but there's a wreck. Did she cause that? No. Somebody else caused it. But you know, you just turn that over to the Lord, do what you can do. God takes care of that, and you rise above it. It doesn't have to bring you down. You can still have a good day despite a wreck. And relationships are the big one, you know. Let's say you're being nice, and you feel like you're doing what you, but somebody in your life is just being a stinker. Maybe they're in a foul mood today. You can rise above that. You do what you can do. Give it over to God. God will give you directions on how to handle it, and you can have a good life. Remember, God is bigger than anything or anyone that you encounter in this life. So when you, again, I want to say, when you do something yourself, you do something stupid, you make bad choices, that's no problem for God. You do your part, and He will do His to help you get out of it. God has provided a way for you to overcome whatever comes against you in life, whatever has caused your trouble, whether it's you yourself or someone else. What do we have? We have His Word, and we have His blood. It says in Revelation 12:11, they overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives to death. See, we need to realize, what was the context in which this was written? This is written about the tribulation time. Christians, during the tribulation, people who have given their lives to the Lord during this horrible, great tribulation time, they're going to have a hard time. And how did they overcome? The blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Our times are not, right where we live now, is nothing like what they're going to go through. And we can overcome with the blood of the Lamb and with the word of their testimony. You know, this works good with small things as well as big things. The word of God, the blood of the Lamb, and His word. Well, during my devotion time this morning, there was this really neat poem, and I just thought, oh, there's just got to be a way I can work that into my message. So I did. It's about two little birds talking to each other. Said the robin to the sparrow, I should really like to know why these anxious human beings rush about and worry so. Said the sparrow to the robin, friend, I think it must be that they have no heavenly Father such as cares for you and me. You know, here we are, we're anxiously running all around, but our heavenly Father cares. He cares about the sparrow, those little birds. He cares about the details of your life. You're thinking, oh, He didn't have time for that. Again, you're a little bitty God, if you don't think. God is big. There's no end to Him. And He cares about the things that you care about. It says in Romans 5:35, who can separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? What can separate us? Verse 37, and yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. There's nothing in this life that can separate you from God's love. He loves you so much, and He wants to pour blessings. He wants you. That's His heart. He wants you to have a good life. And we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Nothing in life is too big for you to overcome with your God. But then you might say, well, it's too late. It's too late. Not with God. You might think your situation, there's no way it can be fixed, but with God it can. You may be dealing with some very unpleasant circumstances because of poor choices that you have made or poor choices that other people have made. But Romans 8:28 tells us that we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and who are called according to His purpose. You see, Deuteronomy 5:29 still applies. God still wants things to go well for you and for you to have a good life. And it doesn't matter what the situation is. He can work it out for your good if you will let Him. That's God's heart for your life. It's not too late. You can start right now. You can start tonight. You can start tonight. Repent if you need to. Use your faith and stand against Satan's attack with the Word of God. I'm telling you, it might take a while, but God will restore and heal whatever is broken in your life. You have to know that. You have to know that God can fix it. God can fix it. Now, it may not be fixed the way you think it needs to be or the way you want to, but if you'll put your life in His hands, He can fix it for you. Do you really believe that if you obey God that your life will be good? Or do you secretly think, well, you know, if I don't really need to fully obey God, just so I do most of the time or some of the time. But I'll tell you, some of the time and the most of the time is not good enough. Because if you just obey God some of the time or maybe even most of the time, you're better than others. Oh, I obey most of the time. You still open up yourself at times to the devil. You know, we get impatient and we want to take matters in our own hands, don't we? Let's say someone has done you wrong. Oh, and you want to get them back so bad. But the Word says, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. Vengeance belongs to God. But if you take that vengeance into your own hands and do something to that person, you're not going to have the life that you thought you would have. It's not going to lead to life. It will lead to death. Or let's say you're impatient and you have not found your Mr. Right. So you just go out with whoever. That is not going to lead you to the path you want to be. Let's say you're looking for a job, and a job opens up, and you really know that's not really exactly what God has for you, but you take it anyway because you're just not really sure. Well, maybe God does. This is maybe the best God has for me. It's not going to lead to the life that you want. Anytime you make a compromise and take things into your own hands and don't follow God's way, it will not go where you want it to go. Don't forget the heart of God. Look at Deuteronomy 5:29 one more time. Oh, that they had such a heart in them that they would fear me and always keep all my commandments, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. And look at that end of forever. What is at the end of the word? An exclamation point. You know, it's like, I really mean this. I really want it to go well. I really want you to have a good life. Isaiah 48, thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Now, is the Lord your Redeemer? It's not a trick question. Is the Lord your Redeemer? Yes, He is. So He's speaking these words to you. He says, I am the Lord your God who teaches you to profit, who leads you by the way you should go. The Lord your God is teaching you to profit. He's showing you how to have prosperity in all the areas of your life. He will show you how to profit and lead you in the way you should go. He's going to show you how you need to go. He's going to guide and direct you. And it goes on to say, oh, that you had heeded my commandments. Notice another exclamation point there. Oh, that you would heed, if you would just do what I said to do, then your peace would have been like a river and your righteousness like the waves of the sea. Peace like a river. Think about a river, a flowing river. Water is just gushing down this river. Wouldn't you like to have that kind of peace flowing into your life, where peace just flows through your life? Where does it come from? Obeying God. Skip down to verse 21. It says, and here the Israelites have been in the wilderness. It says, they did not thirst. This is when the Israelites were in the wilderness. They didn't thirst. when he led them through the deserts. He caused the waters to flow from the rock for them. He also split the rock and the waters gushed out. There is no peace, says the Lord, for the wicked. You see, when you're in a wilderness, if you feel like you're in a wilderness, God can provide for you. Sometimes we go through a wilderness experience, but you won't stay there. And when you're in it, God will provide, just like he provided for his children in the wilderness. Skip on it. So why has the Lord given us commandments, all these things he wants us to do to follow him? It says in Deuteronomy, notice all those verses in Deuteronomy. Been reading Deuteronomy. A lot of good stuff in there. Deuteronomy chapter 6, 24. The Lord commanded us to observe all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is to this day. Why has God given us his commandments? For us, for our good. He gives us his commandments for our good always. We can always live in his goodness. His commandments show us how to live. God's way of living is the way to abundance. It says in Deuteronomy 8:7, the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land. He's bringing you into a good land. He doesn't lead his people into a bad land. So if you're in a bad land, something's wrong. That's not God's plan. That's not his heart. What was God's plan? Garden of Eden. A beautiful place. And that's what he has for you. God doesn't bring his obedient children into a bad land. You know, wilderness for the Israelites was not God's original plan. Sin caused that. Disobedience caused that. Remember, always remember, sin is bad. Sin is bad, and it always brings death. God is just. He's a just God. He's loving, and he's kind, and he's merciful. He's gracious. He's perfect. He's a just God. And sin, if you sin, there will be consequences if there's no repentance. Yay for repentance. So when life is going good, let's say tonight you've made it, you're going to make a choice. You're going to serve God and you're going to do right. You're going to fear him. You're going to obey his commandments. But I want to warn you, when life is going well, two warnings for you. Do not forget the Lord your God. Don't forget him. Deuteronomy 8:11, God says, beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by keeping his commandments, his judgments, and his statutes, which I command you today. Beware. Don't forget. Keep doing the things that brought you life. There's a reason why you're living in an abundance. If you're obeying, it's because you obeyed God. You did what he said to do. You know, I was thinking about that. You know, when you go on a diet, and you eat right, and you lose weight, it's great, isn't it? It feels good. But you stop eating right, and it all comes back on. Why? You didn't do what you did to get there. That's why diets don't work. People, they want to do something just for a short period of time, and then go back to the old way. So you don't do that with your Christian walk. You don't just obey for a short period of time and not do that thing that you know you're not supposed to do for a short period of time. Now things are going good, and then you go back to it. You're going to get right back to where you were from the beginning. So don't forget the Lord your God. Don't forget what you did to get you to that place of abundance. And the number two is keep the pride out. It says in Deuteronomy 17, then you say in your heart, and so when things are all good, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. That's pride, isn't it? Yeah, I've been so good, I've been obeying God. Pride in your own righteousness there. Watch it. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is to this day. Man, you need to humble yourself and acknowledge God. Then it shall be if you by any means, if you forget the Lord your God, and follow other gods and serve them. In other words, you can do your own thing and worship them. I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish. You know, I find that lots of times people can't handle wealth. When things go good and you've got lots of, and things just come in and everything's going perfect and you start to puffed up with pride, and you forget the Lord. It just and you get out of church because things are so good, and then everything crashes, and you have to come back. A lot of times people can't handle good times. They can't handle wealth because they just turn against the Lord. They get prideful, and it happens very, very gradually a little bit. They get prideful and think, I don't need to go as often as I used to. That doesn't work. And in conclusion tonight, I'm going to go back to Deuteronomy 5:29. Oh, that they had such a heart in them. I'm going to stop there. Oh, that they had such a heart in them. What is in your heart? Please be honest with yourself. Do you truly fear God and want to obey Him always? You need to guard your heart, for out of it flow the issues of life. God's heart towards you is always good. But what is your heart toward God? Search yourself. Are you mad at God? Do you blame Him for your disappointments and hurts? You might be surprised. You might not even realize that you're mad at God. Be honest with yourself. I know that you here tonight, you're like the cream of the crop. You love God. I know that you do. You're here on a Monday night. You serve God. But truly, let's search our hearts. Is there somewhere you're not fully obeying the Lord? Is there somewhere? Is there something? Is there that thing that God keeps coming back to you? I need you to do this. I need you to do this. Excuses. And you may not see the death right now, but I'm telling you, you're missing out on a blessing. You're missing out on things that God wants to do in your life. You're limiting what God wants to do in your life. So search your heart. What has God been dealing with you over and over, and you know you need to change? God and His Holy Spirit, He'll give you the power to be able to do it. I want to challenge you tonight. Remember this verse in Deuteronomy 5:29 one more time. Look at the words. Fear me, always keep all my commandments. Fear me, always keep all my commandments. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word. Lord, I pray that You would help us tonight. Identify areas in our life where there's some disobedience, where we're not fully and completely serving You. You're so kind, Lord, and so gentle in the way that You deal with us. And I thank You for that, Lord. I pray that we not be able to forget this word and to know, help these ladies tonight, Lord, to know Your heart for them, that their lives would be good, that things would go well for them, and for their children. I thank You, Father. Amen. Amen. God's good. Did you get anything?
Yes. Amen.
Amen.